Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Nun Ches. We are learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Julius Stern and Joseph Silber. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from all learning. Okay, we pick up already a little bit more than a third of the way down, almost halfway down, on Nun Ches Omud Aleph at the two dots. The two dots say, quote the Mishnah, Mochron V'kidesh B'tmeyen Mikudesh. As we said in all of the different items that we've been talking about for the last couple of days, that were also B'hanoah, that if a man was Mekadesh with those items, a woman, so the woman was not Mikudesh. But if he sold those items that were also B'hanoah for money, so he sold the Shor HaNiskal, for example, he sold any of the items that we said were also B'hanoah, the Kilayim, the Orla, and he got $100 for them. So with that $100, which was obtained via selling something that was also B'hanoah, nevertheless, it is not toe-face onto that Dhamim, the Isser is not toe-face onto those Dhamim, and that money can be used to be Mekadesh a woman. Mochron, if he had sold those also B'hanoah items, V'kidesh B'dmeim, and then was Mekadesh a woman with the money that he got for those also items, Mikudesh, the woman is in fact Mekudesh. And the Gemara starts off and says, Minolan, how do we know that that's true, that in fact the money doesn't get the Isser that was originally in the item that was sold to get that money? So the Gemara tells us, Midigale Rachmana Biavodus Kochavim, since the Torah tells us in regards to Avodus Kochavim, the Pasuk tells us, you're not allowed to bring this toeva, this avodah zarah into your house. That's what the pasuk here we have in the Gemara. It will become asa to you. So this teaches us kol sha'ato mehaya, right? V'hayisa, anything that is caused to be as a result of that avodah zarah, kol sha'ato mehaya, amen, or anything that comes as a result of that avodah zarah, harei hu kamohu, it will have the same status as the avodah zarah, implying that by avodah zarah it is nitfas. So in that situation, but only in that situation, is it true that the item would have the same status as the avodah zarah. In other words, it would be aser. Miklal, the implication, however, is the call isurim shebet Torah, all other isurim in the Torah other than avodah zarah, sharu. In fact, the money that was obtained as a result of exchanging it for that davar aser, so that would not go on to the money. Someone says, why not? The nalef me not. This should be a binyan ab. This should be a din. We know the rule is, in general, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us a certain practice or a certain din applies in this situation, we make it as a binyan ab. We go and use that as the paradigm for all other isurim or all other dinim. So once you tell me that by avodah zarah, the damim are nitfas with the original isur of avodah zarah, so why don't we generalize that and say that that's the rule across the board? So it says, very good question. However, it's because we have the famous rule, we've had this many times already in the recent past, just to remind ourselves that when the Torah gives us something as a binyanav, it's because that can be generalized to everything else. The Torah, therefore, doesn't have to tell it to me by any other din. As soon as the Torah goes and tells it to me by another din, it's essentially a miut, a limitation. Tell me it applies in the two dinim that was mentioned, in the Shnei Ksuvim, that's where this din applies. But if you have two Ksuvim that come to teach us the same thing, so then it can't be generalized and it's not a binyanav. And of course, this goes like the Man D'Yomid, it says, Kol Shnei Ksuvim Boim Keachon Ein Melamdim. We know, of course, that there is a Man D'Yomid that says, no, even Shnei Ksuvim Boim Keachon Melamdim, it's only Shlosh Ksuvim Boim Keachon Ein Melamdim, and we'll get to that momentarily. In any event, the din of Avodas Kochavim and Shmita of Shviyas are Shnei Ksuvim Boim Keachon to teach us that there is the money is nitvas with the original Isser, either the Avodah Zarah or the Shmita status, and therefore those are the exceptions, those two it specifically is, but not anyplace else. Now, Tosus points out, in Shnei Ksuvim Boim Keachon, he tells us, Taman, it's a question over here. Heichi havu beis Ksuvim Boim Keachon over here. Why are these Shnei Ksuvim Boim Keachon? Halo osi shviyas me avodas kochavim. You can't learn out shviyas from avodas kochavim because the Ika Lemifrach, you could say, okay, by avodas kochavim, you can't generalize it to shviyas because mali avodas kochavim, shechen asur bana, the dinim of avodas kochavim, it's also to get any hana from it. As opposed to Shmita, you are allowed to get it. Hanoah from it, you can eat a Shemitah fruit. So you can get Hanoah from it. So maybe that's why you needed to tell me the din by Shemitah, because you couldn't have learned it out from Avodah Kochavim. So therefore, it's not Shteik Suvim Boim Kiyachot. So Tosfos says, no. Vishlomar, Mikom Mokom Nirto Shviyitz. Then just tell me the din by Shviyitz. The Neisi Avodah Kochavim, no. And you could have learned that Avodah Kochavim from Shemitah. And therefore, if you had to tell it to me by Shemitah and Avodah Kochavim, that's the example of Shnei Ksuvim Boim Kiyachon over here. And he says, Ukihai Gavna, in a similar fashion, Mikri Shapir Beg Ksuvim Boim Kiyachon Bekama Duchten. He says, this is a rule across the board. We find it in other places as well. And you don't need Velo Boinon Shei Kol Echod Yochol Limot. And you don't need that each one in itself would have been able to learn it out. But as long as one of them could have learned it out, as soon as you have another one, so then that's Shnei Ksuvim Boim Kiyachon. Then tells us, Yom Tomar, Akati, Ilok Siv Avodos Kochavim, Lo Havi Yadino and Dino de Avodos Kochavim, Mishvitz. But wait a second, if it hadn't written down the din by Avodos Kochavim, you couldn't have learned it out Mishvitz. Shari Einon Shavim, they're not the same. You could argue that, no, you couldn't have learned that Avodos Kochavim for Mishvitz, because the Shvitz, Achron Nitvas, as we'll learn in a moment, by Shemitah, there is a din of Hatfasa to a certain extent, whereas you don't have that same din in regards to Avodos Kochavim. But Rishonim Yotzim Luchulim. In regards to Shemitah, things do, in fact, the first and the last one have Kedusha of Shemitah, but everything in between doesn't. By Avodas Kochavim, that's not true. By Avodas Kochavim, Ikal Man Diomar, Chalipin, V'Chalipe Chalipin Asura. By Avodas Kochavim, even if you have several items in between the first one and the last one that was sold for the Avodas Kochavim, every one of them is Asur. So you couldn't have learned out Avodas Kochavim from Shemitah, and maybe it's not a case there for Shnei Ksuvim Boim Kiyachon. You can tell me, maybe you don't hold like that. So he said, no, Afilu Man Diyoma, Chalipe Chalipe Mutar, even if you want to say there is a Man Diyoma that says the intermediary exchanges are in fact not Asur, nevertheless, Akate Lo Havik Shvius, it still isn't like Shemitah, because Sha'achron Nitzvos, because even if you hold that the Chalipe Chalipe are not Tophis, but then there is no dinner the last one being Tophis, and by Shemitah the last one is Tophis on it, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. So maybe this isn't a case of Shnei Ksuvim Boim Kiyachon, Tosa says. So Tosa's answer, Yesh Lomar, Midirsiv. No, it says, Ki Cheirim Hu. So there's additional item over here where it says in the Pasuk, it is considered a Cheirim. The end of this Pasuk, also Yisro Evo El Bisecho, Yisro Cheirim Kabo, Shaketz Shaketzenu, V'sa'ev T'sa'avenu, Ki Cheirim Hu. So the Mashma Mina, you can see from here, the Lidrasha Osa, it's coming to teach us this din. Lomar Devotus Kochavim, Ushvias have a base on Boy Kechad. It is in fact based on Boy Kechad because the Lekka Lameimar, the Itzrich Lagufa, you don't need this word Kicherim Hu for itself. The Ashwinim, the Chalipe Chalipin Mutarim, because the Oyadin Mirsiv, Kamohu, or Yisachirim Kamohu, the Mashwa Sheino Ose Kayosibo Elapamachas. It only does it once. So the words Kicherim Hu are extra, and that's why you could have learned it out, and that's why Tosus finally understands that this is in fact Shnei Ksuvim Boy Kechad. Okay, if you didn't fully get that, not the end of the world. Just understand right now that this is something that we can't generalize to everything else. And that's how we learn out that in the cases, our Mishnah that we mentioned where there is an Isser Hanah, but if you exchange them for money, so the Isser Hanah doesn't get nitfas onto the money, and the money is worth something, and even though the person did something wrong, he sold this Isser Hanah for something, so nevertheless, the woman is Mekudeshes with that money. Now, let's go inside and look at the Shnei Ksuvim Boim Kiyachon. The Gemara tells us, Avodas Kochavim Hadamar. We just said, the Pasuk that says, Vayisach Cheirim Kamo, the Avodah Zarah, will be exchanged onto the money. And therefore, the money has the status of Avodah Zarah, and you can't be Mekadesh a woman with it. Fine. Avodas Kochavim Hadamar. So that's a permanent Isser on it. But Shviyas, Mahi, what is the Isser of Shvita, of Shviyas that we're talking about, that it's Nitvas onto the money? So the Pasuk tells us, Yovel hi kodesh tiyel lochem. It says that this will be a Yovel year for you, and it shall be holy. Now, what does that mean? It shall be holy. These laws are the same whether they're dealing with Yovel or whether they're dealing with Shemitah. So this, essentially, this Pasuk refers to Shemitah, that it is Kodesh. So, Ma Kodesh Tofes is Domav, just like it's compared to Kachim, that Kachim are Tofes as Domav. If you have a Behema and it has a Mum, and now you want to sell it, it belongs to Hekdish, so when you sell it, so the Behema goes to Chulim, but the money that's used to redeem that animal now has the status of kachim. So my kodesh tofes is domav. So in an exchange for kachim, the money that is being used now will get that kedusha. So to av shvius, when you sell shvius, tofes is domav. It the money that you used to purchase that shvita will now have kedusha shvius. Where it says, wait a second, ima kodesh tofes is domav v'yosil chulin. Wait a second, by kachim when you sell this animal that has a mum, let's say, and you redeem it, and now the money gets the kedusha of that animal, of Hekdish, so the animal goes to be chulin. The kachim are deconsecrated. So Shemitah is not deconsecrated. So based upon your comparison that you're saying Shemitah is like Kachim, so then Av Shviyas Tofes is Domeh Av Yotzel Chum, then Shemitah should also go out, and the fruits themselves should not have Kedusha Shviyas. The money that you sold the fruits for, that should have Kedusha Shviyas, but the fruits should not, if you're comparing it to Hekdesh. So therefore, that's what the Pasuk tells us, Talmud Lomar, Tihiyeh, it will be Kodesh. It will be Kodesh no matter what. Yovel hi Kodesh Tiyeh Lochem, meaning Talmud Lomar, Tiyeh tells us, Behava Yosor Tehei, it shall stay as its Kedusha state. In other words, the fruit itself doesn't lose its status of being Shemitah, but the money that it was sold for now gains the status of being money that has Kedusha Shviyas to it. So both have it. Now, how exactly does this work? Ketzad. So this is what we talked about before, that Achron Tofes. So Ketzad. Lo kach beperish Shviyas Basa. A person had some Shemitah fruit, and he exchanged it with somebody, he sold it to somebody for a piece of meat. So now in this situation, the Shemitah fruit doesn't lose its status of being Shemitah fruit. It still has Kedusha Shviyas, but the meat that it was exchanged for, sold for, Eilu v'eilu mizbarim b'shviyas. The meat now has Kedusha Shviyas status, and at the end of the Shemitah year, you have to do the biur. Now the biur, there's a lot of different definitions of what it means to burn it, to biur. Well, there's one literal explanation that it means, yeah, you have to go burn it. Others say, no, you just have to put it out of your house. You have to make it hefker. So we're not going to get into a detailed discussion now what mizbarin means, but at the end of the Shemitah year, you have to be mizbar your shviyas. So you have this din that now applies to the basur. The basur certainly wasn't perish shviyas, but the kedusha of shviyas went on to the basur. But now you take this piece of meat, which has kedusha shviyas, and you go sell it or exchange it for fish. So if you go now, the basur dogim, you take that piece of meat that has Kedusha Shviyas, and you sell it for fish, so then Yatza Batzer, now the Batzer lost its status of Kedusha Shviyas, it becomes back regular Chulin Basar, and Nichtesu Dogim, and the Kedusha Shviyas goes into the fish. You then go take the fish, Bidogim, and you buy Yayin with it. So now, the Kedusha leaves the fish and goes on to the wine. Yatzu Dogim, the Dogim are now not having Kedusha Shviyas anymore, but Nichtes Yayin, and the wine now has the Kedusha Shviyas. You do another exchange, the Yayin Shemen, you go and take that wine that has Kedusha Shviyas, and you go purchase oil with it. So now, Yatzu Yayin, the wine no longer has Kedusha Shviyas, but it goes into Nichtes Shemen, and the Shemen now has the Kedusha Shviyas. Now, what's the bottom line? Ha Ketzad, Achron Nitvas Bishvias Uperiatsu. So the bottom line is, after all of these exchanges, the first and the last ones are the ones that have Kedusha Shviyas. The fruit itself never loses its status of Kedusha Shviyas. That's because, as we said, the Pasuk said, Kodeshi, it will always be Tehyeh Bahava Yasa Tehe. So it always retains its status of being Kadosh, of having Kedusha Shviyas. However, the exchanges, only the last one, Achron, Nitvas B'Shviyas, only the last one, the last exchange, that one will now have Kedusha Shviyas, but all the intermediary exchanges, they've lost their Kedusha Shviyas that they got when they were used as the exchange for the prior Kedusha Shviyas item. Okay, so the Gemara now asks the question that I mentioned before. This is great that we have the din of Avodah Zarah and we have the din of Shemitah teaching us that we can't make a binyan av over here because Shnei Ksuvim Bar Kiyach and Eim Lav. Now, Hanich Laman D'Yomar, Eim Lav, that's great if you hold like that. However, what about El Laman D'Yomar, Milam Din? There is an Laman D'Yomar that says it's only Shlosh Ksuvim Bar Kiyach and Eim Lav. But what about the opinion that says Shnei Ksuvim Bar Kiyach and Eim Lav? So why can't we have Avodah Zarah and Shemitah being a binyan av? And we should learn out this din all the time that the Domim are Nitvas. So the Gemara says, Ma'ikamem, what are you going to say according to this Man D'Yomar? So the Gemara says, no, we still have a reason not to generalize it. Because even if you say normally with Shteik Suvim, you could generalize it, but not if the Shteik Suvim have a miut. And each of these two, Avodah Zarah and Shemitah, has a miut to it. Miute ksive. Because it says in regards to the Avodah Zarah, ksiv hocha ki cherem hu. It is a cherem, and nothing else is a cherem like it. In other words, nothing else is going to be nitvas onto it. And likewise by Shemitah, it says, ksiv hocham yovel hi, it, he, in is a nitvas on the domim, a midyachrina lo, but other things are not. So you have two miyutim over here, kicherim hu, yovel hi, and therefore that's even according to man that says shnei ksuvim boim yachod melamdim, but this too cannot be melamdim, it can't be a binyanav because they are miyutim that tell us it applies only to this din of Avodah Zarah and Shemitah respectively and not to anything else. And that's how we conclude that little sugya. Okay, now we go on to the next Mishnah, as opposed to the previous Mishnah, which said all these things are asur b'hanah, and a woman is not mekudeshes with them themselves. Here we have things that can be used for Kiddushin, which you might have thought might not be able to be used for Kiddushin. And what is this list? So, Hamakadish with Trumos. If the man is Makadish a woman with Trumos, so he gives a girl Truma. Now, obviously, if he's not a Kohen and the girl's not a Kohen, so neither of them can eat this, but they can sell it to a Kohen. We'll have to discuss how they exactly got this, that they're able to sell it. Because if you are Mafrish, your own Trumos and Maisos, so that Truma, if you're not a Kohen, doesn't belong to you. You have the right, what's called Tovas Hanah, to give it to the Kohen of your choice, but you don't really own that Truma. You're able to give it away to the Kohen of your choice, but it's not yours. So how could you be Mekadesh a woman with Truma? So we'll have to explain in the Gemara how that exactly works, but a woman could be Mekudeshes with Truma, even though she's not a Kohen or a Bas Kohen, and can't eat that Truma, but it has value that she could sell it to a Kohen. Therefore, it's worth a Shavah Pruta, and she is Mekudeshes. So I'm a Kaddish with Trumos or B'maisos. Here we're talking about everything but Maiser Sheni, because the previous Mishnah taught us that according to the Shita of Rameya, Maiser Sheni is Momon Gavoahu, and therefore it can't be used to be Mekadesh woman because you don't own it. So here we're talking about Maiser Rishon, Maiser Oni. Why Maiser Oni is given in the third and the sixth years, Maiser Sheni is first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the cycle. And of course, in the Shemitah year, there is no din of Maiseros. So here we're dealing with either giving to a woman to be Mekadisha Maiser Rishon or Maiser Oni. So these do have value, and therefore the woman is Mekudeshes. Or Ubi Matanos. If you give the woman any of the Matanos that a Kohen gets, such as she tells us, Zdrol or Chayayim in the Keva, these are various parts of a non-hektish animal. When you shecht the regular animal, so the Kohen is entitled to get presents from the regular Shlita animal, from the Chulin animal. And he gets the Zdroa, which is the right foreleg, the lechayim, which is the jaw area, and the keva, which is a certain part of the stomach. So those are matnos kahuna, amongst the 24 matnos kahuna, and if you're a Mekadesh woman with these matanos, so the woman is Mekudeshes. Likewise, ubimei chatos, if you're Mekadesh a girl with mei chatos, the waters of the paraduma, with the ashes of the paraduma mixed into the Mayim Chaim, and create the meichatos. So if you're Mekadesh a woman with meichatos, so the woman is Mekudeshes. Likewise, ubeifer chatos, or if you have the actual ashes of the paraduma. The Bach has the gears over here of Efer Para. In any event, these ashes are likewise worth something. They're considered to have value to them. And therefore, the woman would be Mekudeshes. Now, Harezu Mekudeshes. In all of these scenarios, the woman is Mekudeshes. And this is true, Vafilu Yisrael, even if the woman who is being Mekudeshes is a Yisrael, in other words, cannot eat the Trumos, so nevertheless, she still would be able to go and be Mekudeshes by receiving this Truma. Now, the Gemara starts and says, Amar Ula disagrees, so to say, with our Mishnah, and he says, Tovas Hano Eino Mamun. He says, no, the right to go and give to the Kohen the Truma, so that is called Tovas Hano. You have the right to give it to whichever Kohen you'd like to give it to, similarly with the Maiser Rishon, similarly with the Maiser Ani, so that right to give it to somebody, that is not considered Mamon. In other words, even though you are able to give it to the Kohen of your choice, the Levi of your choice, the Ani of your choice, nevertheless, that is not considered an asset that you could go be Mekadesh a woman with. So on the surface, it seems that our Mishnah is going against Ula, and that's in fact what Rabbi Abba says to Ula. Eitzer Rabbi Abba Ula, wait a second, he says, our Mishnah seems to indicate other than what you said. Hamakadish b'trumos v'vaisos v'matonos, b'mechatos b'eifer para, harei zu mekudeshes v'afilu b'Yisrael. So, how is this woman actually being mekudeshes if it's not the Tovas Hanah? Isn't that value? And therefore, it's the Tovas Hanah that is being Mekadesh this woman, because now she can give this Truma to whichever Kohen she wants to. She can give the Maaser Rishon to whichever Levi she wants to, etc. And therefore, that is how she is Mekudeshes. Isn't it the Tovas Hanah? So how can you say the Tovas Hanah is not worth a Shavah Pruta? It's not considered money. So Ula says, back to Rabbi Abba, Amalei, no, Hocho, we're dealing over here, B'Yisrael, Shenof Lo Tuvolim, Mibes Avi, Imo HaKohen. We have this scenario in a number of places. A Zaidi is a Kohen, okay? He has a daughter. The daughter's a Bas Kohen. But when she marries a Yisrael, she loses her status of being able to go and eat Truma because now she's married to a Yisrael. Very good. Very wonderful marriage. Now, they have a child. This grandson of the Zaidi who is a Kohen is a Yisrael. Fine. What happens when the Zaidi passes away and he didn't have any sons? He only had a daughter. Let's make it nice and simple. He only had this one daughter. So this one daughter who is a Bas Kohen, but she's married to Yisrael, cannot eat the Truma. But her father, Zaidi, the Kohen, did in fact have Truma in his possession. When he died, he gives over as a Yerusha the Truma that he owns. It's his Truma, he was given it. And he gives this Truma over to his daughter, as a Yerusha. And she dies, let's say her husband predeceased her, and therefore her inheritance goes over to her children. Any Yerusha that she has goes over to her child. Let's make it nice and simple. Her husband has passed away, and she has no other children other than this one grandson of the Zadie Cohen. So now this child inherits the Truma from his mother, who inherited from her father, Zadie the Cohen. Now, in this situation, this grandson, Yisrael, owns that Truma. It is his Truma. So that's what Ula tells Rabbi Abba. Hocha bi Yisrael, shenaflu lo tuvolim, he has tevel mi beis avi imo Cohen. He didn't actually get the Truma directly. The same din would apply if he actually got the Truma directly, but the Mefarshim explained, Rashi says, no chiddush then, that of course he owns that. He inherited it. That's actually his Truma. While he can't eat it, he certainly has the right to go sell that to somebody. That's not tovas hanah. That's actual Yerusha that he has of Truma. It's worth $100. We'll sell it to a Cohen for $100. So that's definitely mammon. But the chiddush over here, that Ula is telling Rabbi Abba, that even if the Zadie Cohen was a farmer, and he had his own tevel. Now, he has to go separate Trumas and Mises from it, but he's allowed to keep the Trumas that he goes and separates from it and give it to himself, but he has to be mafreshit. So the Zadie Cohen hadn't had yet an opportunity to take that tevel and be mafresh the Trumas and Mises from it. And he passed away, it went to his daughter, and then she passed away, and it went to her son. So that's why the grandson, the Yisrael grandson, has now inherited Tevalim, not Truma itself, but the Tevel, the untithed produce from his Zadie Cohen, his mother's father. Now, Ula says, the Kosova, the Tana of our Mishnah holds, Matanos Shilohurmu, this Tevel has Matanos inside of it, as Truma, as Maiser Rishon, as Maiser Sheni, Maiser Ani, it has these matanos inside of it. However, Cohen isn't allowed to eat tevel. You have to be mafreshit, even though he can eat the truma that's been hufresh from it, and he can eat the chulin, but he can't eat them until there is hafrasha. But our Tana of our Mishnah holds that these matanos, even though shelo hurmu, have not yet been taken off, we consider them kimi shehurmu damyan, as if they have already been taken off, and therefore this grandson is actually inheriting truma and chulin, and therefore we view it as if it's already, he has to go still separated. It's not automatically separated. He has to go separated, but we view him as having inherited the truma, not as having inherited tevel, because if he inherits tevel, so then he would have to go and give to a different kohen the truma. He's not a kohen, it's not his. He has to give it to a kohen, and therefore it would be only tovas hanah. And Ula says, tovas hanah, ain't a mama. So therefore, Ula says the Tana of our Mishnah agrees with him, and also says Tovas Hanah is Eino Mamo. So then how you makdish a woman with Truma? It must be that he got this Truma as either Truma from his Zadie Cohen, which of course would be simple, there'd be no Chiddush, but the Chiddush that our Mishnah is telling us is that even if he inherited Tevel from Zadie the Cohen, so in this situation, there is Trumos inside of it, Matano Shelo Hurmu, however, he's considered as of inheriting it as if he inherited actually the Truma inside of it, and not that he has to be mafresh that Truma and give it to a Kohen. So when he's mafresh that Truma, he inherited it. It's his Truma, and he gets to keep it himself, and that's what he's Makadish the woman with, not the Tovas Hanah. I hope that was clear, because that's a critical point to understand what's going on. Matano Shelo Hurmu, Kimish Hurmu Damyan, it's considered as if they are inheriting Truma and chulin separately, even though they're mixed together. They're considered as if they're separated, even though he still has to separate them, and therefore he's considered inheriting truma and not considered inheriting tevel that he has to be mafresh truma on and give to a different person to give to a kohen. Okay, that's what Ula explains to Rabbi Abba, our Mishnah is discussing. However, boy, mine Reb Chiya bar Avin me Reb Huna. Reb Chiya bar Avin asks Reb Huna, he says, I don't understand. Tovas Hanah Mammon or Eino Mammon? What's the din over here? Is Tovas Hanah Mammon or is Tovas Hanah not considered Mammon? Now, he either didn't know that Ula said that Tovas Hanah Eino Mammon, but he was questioning him from our Mishnah. So, Amalei. So, Ula responded to him and said, Tenitzua, we learned that our Mishnah says, Hamakadish v'trumas v'maisus v'matonis v'meichatis v'eifapara harezu b'kudeshes v'avili Yisrael. So, that sounds like the din of Tovas Hanah is Mammon. But Reb Chiya bar Ravin said to Rav Huna, but didn't the Rebbe teach us, Amalei, the Lavu Kimna, didn't you say that our Mishnah is talking about, be Yisrael, Shanaf, Lo Tavalim, be Beis Avi, Imo, Akoi? So therefore, the din should be, Tovas Anaz, Eino Mamon. And we turn to Nun Ches Amud Beis, and Rav Huna says back to Reb Chiya bar Ravin, Amalei, Hutsa At. Now, what does the word Hutsa mean? So, Rav Chiya Bar Oven thought he was being insulted over here. He thought that he was saying, basically, the top Rashi tells us, Mutzo'at. He thought he was being told that you are a Mutzo, which means, Meshmua Zu Nira, it appears to me, Rav Huna was telling to Rav Chiya Bar Oven, that from your statement, that you don't understand the Gemara. Nira, She'en Ata Chochem Ba, that you're not a smart person, you don't understand this Gemara. So that's the way Rav Chiya Bar Oven took the statement, where Rav Huna called him Hutzo. He took it in a very negative and pejorative way, that you're basically saying that I'm outside. In other words, I don't understand what's going on over here. Or Inami, Kotil Kone Bi Agmos At, that this Lashon of Hutsa is a Lashon of Hutsa Vidafna, like the thorns and the thistles. And he basically was saying that you are an ignorant cutter of weeds, basically, of cutting down these thorns and thistles. You cut down reeds. And as a result of that, you're not a Talmud Chacham. So that's the way, unfortunately, Rav Chiya Bar Oven thought that Rav Huna was insulting him. So Ilsef, he got very embarrassed. He said, I thought I understood the sugya well. So Rav Huna saw that Rav Chiya Bar Oven had taken his comment the wrong way, because Rav Chiya Bar Oven thought, Hu Savar Mishmaita Kamale, he thought that Rav Huna was basically removing him from this din. In other words, saying, you don't know what's going on, as we just explained in the Rashi, the two pshatim, I mean, that's not what Rav Huna meant. So Amale, Rav Huna said, no, that's not what I meant. Hogi come in, this is what I meant to you. I said, you asked a very good question. You were asking the same question, Rav Asi de Hutzal Koi Kavosech. Rav Asi had pointed this out, Rav Asi who comes from the city of Hutzal, and I called you a Hutzalite. Hutzal'at, that you are just like Rav Asi of Hutzal, who pointed out that you can't learn this din from our Mishnah, that Tovas Hanoah is Mamonhu, because in fact, Tovas Hanoah is not Mamonhu, because we're dealing over here with a grandchild who inherited Tuvalim from his Zaydi, a Kohen. So therefore, I wasn't insulting you. I was complimenting you, Rav Huna said to Rav Chiya Bar Oven, please don't take it as an insult. You shouldn't be upset. I complimented you. Now, is Tovas Hanoah Mamon or not? So Ula says no. So Rav Huna was saying, this is exactly the din that Ula taught us, that it's not. But is there an opinion that says Tovas Hanoah is Mamon? So yes, this is a Machlokas Tanoim, Neimar Kitanoi. Let us suggest that this is in fact not just the Amoraim that are arguing about this, but the Tanoim argue about this as well. And we learn it from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hagonev Tivlo Shel Chaveru. If you go and steal your friend's Tevel. Now, again, whenever we say if a person does something, it doesn't mean it's allowed or that it was permitted. So we're only interested in the outcome. What is the financial aspect over here? We're not talking about, of course, you shouldn't be doing this. So, Hagonev Tivlo Shel Chaveru. Somebody stole the tevel of his friend. So, nope, there's a financial aspect over here. Mishalim lo demei Tivlo Shel Chaveru. Divri Rebbe. Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi says that when you pay this person back for stealing from him, you have to pay him back the value of the tevel. In other words, 100% of the item that you stole. So the tevel is worth $100, so you have to go pay him back $100. That's Rav Yehuda Nasi's opinion. That's probably what all of us would have said. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda says, no, you only have to pay him back the demei chulin. Eino mishalim elo demei chulin shabo. So this $100 of tevel that you stole from him, well, there's 2% that's going to be Truma Gedola. Then there's going to be 10% that's Maaser Rishon. And then there's going to be 10% that's, let's say, Maaser Oni. So you don't have to pay him back that stuff. That didn't belong to him. He was going to be mafrish that stuff. So Rav Yosef Yehuda says, all you have to do is pay him back the Dmei Chulin. After all the Trumas and Maasers are taken off, that's what this guy really owned. So that's all you really stole from him. The rest was just Tovas Hanah, and that's not considered Mamonhu. So therefore, Rav Yosef Yehuda says, you only have to give him, if it was $100 worth of tevel, you only have to give him, you know, $75. If you take off the 2% for Truma, and the 10% for Maaser Rishon, and 10%, let's say, for Maaser Ani, so whatever is left, that is Chulin. So that's what you owe him. So let's keep it nice and simple. It's not exactly $75, but Rebbe would say you have to pay him $100, and Rav Yosef Yehuda says you only have to pay him $75. Now, my lab, Hakam Italy, aren't they exactly arguing about this? That the Marasava Rebbe holds Tovas Hanoah's Mamon. So even though he can't eat the Truma, he can't eat the Maaser Rishon, he has to give that to the Levi, he's going to give the Maaser Ani to the Ani. So that's not his to eat, but nevertheless, since he can select which Kohen, Levi, or Ani he wishes to give it to, so therefore it is considered valuable to him, that Tovas Hanoah. So you have to go pay for the entire amount, and therefore you have to pay him $100. So Rebbe holds Tovas Hanoah is Mamon. Whereas Rav Yosef Yehuda, Umar Sabar, no, Tova said, no, ain't a mum. It's not worth something tangible. And therefore, yes, you do have the right to give it to the Kohen Levi and Oni that you wish to, but bottom line is, it's not yours. And therefore, he doesn't have to pay you back for stealing that. He only has to pay you back for the Chulin Shabbat. To make Chulin Shabbat, that is all that he owes you. Oh, so let us say this is Machlokas Tanoim. Where it says, no, not necessarily so. Lo. Indeed, the Kuli Alma, not only Rav Yosef Yehuda holds that Tovas Amonu, Tovas Hanoi is Eino Mama, but even Rabbi holds Kuli Alma, Tovas Hanoi, Eino Mama. They're both not saying that it's valuable, as tangible as money. So their argument goes as follows. They both are talking about V'hocha B'tfalim Shenaflo Mibes Abi Imo Kohen. Here, we're talking about the grandson who inherited through his mother from Zaidi Kohen, Tfalim. And they're arguing on the point that we had discussed before. Do we view this tevel, which has matanus inside of it that haven't yet been separated, do we view them as kamisha hurmu damyan or not? That's what they're arguing about. Kamisha hurmu damyan kamifligi. That Rebbe holds mar sabar kamisha hurmu damyan. We view them as if they're already separated, even though they're not separated, and therefore, while the grandson will have to separate them, but they're considered as he inherited truma. And again, it's partial. Everybody agrees that if the grandson had inherited already truma from the Zaidi Kohen, and it was already mufresh, and he inherited that, it belongs to him. Okay, he can't eat it, but he'll sell it to the Kohen for whatever the value of truma is. And the Kohen can't demand it from him. It's not the Kohen's. It's the grandson who's a Yisrael. So Rebbe holds Mar Sovar, when you're dealing with tevel, we view it as if it's already separated, so we consider the grandson, Yisrael, that he inherited the tevel from the Zaidi Kohen as if it was already hufresh, so he's inheriting truma, he's inheriting chulin, albeit they're mixed together, and he still has to be mafreshit. That's Rebbe's opinion. On the other hand, Reuzer Yehuda says, no, Umar Savar, lav kimishu mudamyan. No, you inherited tevel. If you have tevel, you can't say, I own the Kohen portion of it. That's Tovas Hanah. That's all you want from it. And Tovas Hanah ain't a mama. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, that's why, even though you're dealing with Tevel that he inherited, that portion of Truma inside of it, he didn't inherit that. He inherited Tevel. And from the Tevel, he has to be Mafresh Truma and give it to the Kohen. So that's what their argument is about. That's Teretz number one. We'll have several Teruts in what they're possibly arguing about that they don't argue about Tovas Hanah. That, where it says, everybody agrees, Tovas Hanah is not considered mama. So the Gemara says, maybe they're arguing about, in fact, the Kuli Alma, Kamisha or Mudarmin. No. In fact, nobody argues about, do we consider the Tevel to have been considered Mufresh or not halachically? So it still needs to be Mufresh, but we view it, everybody holds, both Rebbe and Rav Yosef Yehuda say that we view this tevel as if he inherited kimi shuhurmu damyan. We view it as if he inherited truma separately and chulin separately, even though it's mixed together and hasn't yet been separated. And therefore, they all agree v'tovas hanah eino mamon as well. So then what are they arguing about? V'hocha v'dishmul kamifli. They're arguing about the din of Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? Yama Shmuel tells us the din d'araisa is chit achas v'teres is a kri. The rabbi set up that an average person should give 1/50th as truma gedola. A generous person gives a 40th. A stingy person gives a 60th. Those are all dinim d'rabbanan. Midaraisa chita achas poteris is a kri. And that's what we do today nowadays when we don't have kohanim. We don't have true kohanim that can eat the truma. Everybody is considered tamei meis, and everybody is incapable of eating truma. We're not even sure that people are kohanim, with rare exceptions. We can't guarantee that they truly have a yichus all the way back to the kohanim of the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the time of Ezra. And therefore, we don't give today truma 2% or a 40th or a 60th. We give a chita achas. So when you have a big farm in Eretz Yisrael, you take off one kernel and you say, this is truma for the entire field. Because nobody can eat it, so you might as well not make it into a large amount. And we follow the basic din d'araisa, the chita achas, a single kernel of grain, of wheat, poteris is a kri, will exempt the entire pile, the entire field, from the status of being tevel, and now it has from it mufresh truma. You still have to take off the ma'aser rishon, you have to take off the ma'aser ani, that you still have to do. In any event, so chita achas poteris is a kri, and this din of Shmuel, Demar Rebbe agrees with it. Islay the Shmuel, and therefore Rebbe in the machlokas over here, where the God has stole somebody else's tevel, so it's I stole $100 from you. Oh, you're telling me it's only $75 because the rest is chulin. He says no. Guess what? I would have given a single kernel. So instead of $100, yes, it's $99.99, right? So that's what you owe me. In other words, you owe me devei tivlo, that one kernel is nothing. So therefore, you got to pay me for the whole thing because I would have been taking off only one kernel to exempt it. So really, all the rest is going to be chulin. And Rav Yosef Yehuda disagrees. Umar less later, he says, no, you can't say that I'm going to go and take off that single kernel. The din is that you have to take off 2%, a 50th, or a 40th, or a 60th. And if you don't take that off, so then we don't consider it to be mufresh, even though the din daraisa says that it is. And that's what the machlokes is Rabbi versus Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, is do they or do they not agree with the principle of Shmuel? And as we've said many times, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda came well before Shmuel. So Shmuel is just the name that's given to this principle of Chita Achas Bateres Zikri, but the concept was well known before him. It's just said over the name of Shmuel. He's the one that publicizes din, so it's not only Shmuel's din that they're arguing about, but the Shmuel community. But Shmuel lived much after them, and therefore they obviously didn't necessarily know that Shmuel had said his din, but they certainly knew the din of Chita Achas Bateres Zikri, and Rebbe holds from it. You can rely upon that in this case of a Goni Tilo Shechavero, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the rabbi said, you got to take off 40th or 50th or 60th, so therefore that din of Chita Achas Boteres is a creed no longer can be used by this person to say, that's my opinion. Okay. That's the second teretz, what Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda argue about. We have another teretz possibly. He might say, in fact, no, the Kuliyama less with the Shmuel. Nobody holds in this din of Shmuel that Chita Achas Boteres is a creed. Bottom line is, the rabbi said, you got to take off a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th. So we no longer can apply that basic din daraisa when the din of a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th does apply. As I pointed out today, it doesn't apply. So therefore, we can go back to the original din daraisa. But in the time that Rabbi and Yosef Yehuda argued, they still gave Chumas and Maisus. So therefore, the din that you have to give a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th is applicable. And nobody says that you can be exempting yourself by saying, Chita Achas Boteres is a creed, and therefore you pay me the whole thing. Then what do they argue about? Time of the Rebbe. This is what Rebbe is holding like. The Kansur Rabbanon Leganav. The rabbis did a Kanas to Leganav. Yeah, technically, you could deduct the 40th, the 50th, and the 60th, and you could deduct the Maaser Rishon, you could deduct the Maaser Sheni, the Maaser Ani. But we're going to give you a Kanas, and we're going to not let you deduct it, because you're a Ganav. So therefore, you stole $100, so technically, you're really only paying back 75, but we're making you pay back 100, because even though Tovas Hanor is not considered mammon, but we're giving you a kenas, and you got to give back the whole amount of money. But it's not because Tovas Hanor is mammon. No, everybody agrees Tovas Hanor is not mammon. And Rabbi says, do we give you a kenas? And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, no, we don't give you a kenas. That's teretz number three. Teretz number four, you might say, in fact, the Kuliyama is still the Shmuel. In fact, everybody holds Shmuel's 100% right. Nobody argues with the basic din d'oraisa, the Chita Achas Boteres is a kri, and therefore, even though the rabbis instituted a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th, the bottom line is, if you gave a single kernel, so it wouldn't be called tevel l'truma. It's no longer tevel l'truma. That's the din d'oraisa. The rabbis can't change that basic din d'oraisa around. They can state you should give a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th, but the bottom line is that the person didn't give it. Both Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say that technically is no longer going to be considered tevel. So therefore, when the guy stole the tevel, so you should have to pay back the $100. So then, why does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say that you don't have to pay back the $100? We understand Rebbe. Rebbe holds like Shmuel. So if he says you have to pay back the $100, why does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say you still only have to pay back $75? You have to pay the mechul and shabo. V'ha'ocha ha'inu time the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. What does he hold? The kansur rabbanan lebalabayis. We kansur lebalabayis. What are you doing not taking off Trumas and Maisus immediately? You let it stick around and knew it was stolen from you, but it's your fault that you didn't take off Trumas and Maisus right away. You shouldn't have left it. So therefore, we are going to go and cancel you for not taking off Trumas and Maisus right away. It's a dangerous situation not to take off Trumas and Maisus right away. So we're actually giving you a knas, and we're telling the Ganav that he only has to pay back $75, the Dmei Chulin Shabo, and not the other stuff. So these are the four terutzim to explain what the machlokes is between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. And according to all four terutzim, they all agree with Ula's principle, that which Rebbe Huna had stated as well, that Tovas Hanor Lav Mamon Hu. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Hamakadish v'tumas v'maisos v'matanos v'meichatos v'efapara harezu mukadesh v'af api Yisrael. So we learned in our Mishnah, this din, that you can be Mekadosh a girl. Even if she's not a Kohen, you can be Mekadosh with this Truma. But wait a second, we learned in the following Mishnah, Mishnah in Bechoros, it seems to say differently. Urminu, we contrast this with the Mishnah in Bechoros, which says, Hanotel Socher Lodun. If a judge takes money to go adjudicate a case, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to judge for free. How do judges get paid? So they're allowed to take Schar Batola. But you can't go take money literally for judging the case. the nuke can say, listen, I'm a doctor. I would have seen 10 patients during the time that you made me judge this case, and therefore I lost out on 10 patients' income, so therefore pay me for being a judge. So you can call this schar batola, the fact that he was bottled from doing his work, so therefore he's allowed to go and take schar for that, but he's not allowed to take money literally to judge. So Hanotel Schar Laudan, if you're actually taking the money to go judge the case, the guy is retired, he's not working, he's not doing anything, so then you got a problem. How can you go and pay him? There are ways to do that halachically acceptable, but you have the simple din over here that this is a problem in terms of he's not allowed to take money to judge. Likewise, Lahoy, the guy can't take money to go and testify. Oh, I'll come and testify if you pay me. No. In this situation, the Hanotel Schar Laudan Dinov Betalim. If you take Lahoy, so you can't take money to judge, you can't take money to go and testify. If you do, your judgment or your testimony is betela, it is null and void. Likewise, you can't go take money, lahazos, to go sprinkle the mechatas on somebody. You can't go and accept money to do that. You have to do that for free. Likewise, ulekadesh, to go and make the mechatas, to mix the efer para with the mayim chayim, so to go and make it into Mechatos, you can't take money for doing that. And in fact, if you did it, Neimav Meimara, if such a person then did this for money, so the Mechatos that he has is no different than Meimara. It's just like regular spring water, and it has no value whatsoever. It's regular cave water. Meimara, literally is a cave, means a spring, so that is going to be valueless in terms of being a Metara person. And the Ephro and the Ephro over here, that he put into the Mechatos, Efer Mikla. It's considered like regular ashes. It's not considered Para Aduma ashes. So therefore, you clearly see from over here that a person is not allowed to go and take money for Lahazos or Lakadesh, and in that situation, Meimav Meimara, Efer Mikla. So in other words, it's valueless. So how can you go be Mekadesh a woman with Mechatos and Efer Para? That's the stira that we seem to have. So the Gemara says, I'm going to buy a little kasha. It's not a kasha. Why? Because kam bischar haba umiloi, that we're saying in our Mishnah, you know what he was being mekadesh the woman with money that he got for the mechatos and the efer para? We said it's mekudeshes. That's for the schar of hava, of bringing the ashes of the paraduma. He took them. That took work. So that's he's not doing the mitzvah at that moment in time. He's doing the work. You have to pay the worker. Umiloi. And for going to bring the water. So that's why our Mishnah says you can be mekadesh the girl with the mechatas and efer para. That's the work that you got, that you did, and you got paid for. Whereas the Braisa that says, if a person is being paid lahazos, to sprinkle the mechatas or the kadesh, or to mix the ashes with the mayim chayim, in that situation, you're not allowed to get paid for that. So therefore, the Bryce is talking about a different scenario than the Mishnah, and therefore there's no steer between the two of them. The Mishnah is talking about being paid for your work in bringing, getting the ashes or the mayim chayim. So that was tircha, that was work. You're allowed to get paid for that work. But to do the sprinkling or to do the mixing, that's not work, and therefore that you're not allowed to get paid for, and therefore the Braisa says in that situation, name of Memora, Ephro, Ephro Mikla. Whereas the Mishnah had said, no, you can be Mekadesh a woman with that. And I'll show you that this is right, the Gemara says, Daikunami. I'll show you this is right because look at the words carefully. Diktani Hocha, it says in our Mishnah, Hocha, Bimechatas uve Efer Para, which implies that you're going and getting them. So they haven't yet been mixed because you're talking about the waters of the Chatas and the ashes of the Paraduma pre-mixing. Whereas the Braisa said, Ktani Hosam, Lahazos, to go and sprinkle it, in other words, already mixed, Ulekadesh, is to go and mix them together. Oh, Shmami, no, that's a good deal. And in fact, that's the explanation of the seeming stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. There is no stira. This concludes this beautiful second parak. Hadron Alecha Ish Makadish, Hadron Alecha Ish Makadish, Hadron Alecha Ish Makadish. And now let's start the third parak. A new Mishnah starts and tells us, Omer L'chaver, if a man says to his friend, notice the lashon of his friend, we'll ask in the Gemara, how come sometimes it says to a shaliach, Omer L'shaliach, we just had, where sometimes it says Omer L'chaver. We'll explain that when we get to the Gemara. So, Omer L'chaver, a man says to his friend, listen, there's a beautiful lady that I'd like to marry. Say Mekadish Shli Isha Plogus, do me a favor, be my agent, my shaliach, to go and be Mekadish that woman on my behalf. Here's $100, go and buy her a ring and be Mekadish her on my behalf. No, v'holach v'kishel atzmo. This friend, so-called friend, sees this girl, says, wow, she's a really nice girl. And he says, would you like to marry me? Not the person who had sent him, his friend who had asked him to be Mekadosh the girl on the friend's behalf. This guy goes. So Reuven had asked Shimon to go and be Mekadosh the girl on behalf of Reuven. And Shimon goes and finds the girl and he says, listen, you're a nice girl. How about marrying me? V'holach v'kishel atzmo. And he gives her his own money. And he says, will you become Mekudeshes to me? And she says, yes. So who's the girl married to? Mekudeshes Lashedi. She's in fact Mekudeshes to the friend who did a dastardly thing. He did a not nice thing. So this girl is in fact Mekudeshes to Shimon, the Shaliach, the friend who was supposed to be Mekadesh on behalf of Reuven, but he was Mekadesh on behalf of himself. So the girl accepted the Kedushin from Shimon to be Mekudeshes to him and didn't know anything about Reuven possibly. So she is Mekudeshes to Shimon, and Reuven is out of the picture, unfortunately. Now, this friend is not much of a friend, and the Gemara will say so, but bottom line is, Shimon, this not-so-good friend, is the one that's Mekadesh the woman. V'chein omer l'isha, likewise, if a man says to a woman, Hareyat Mekudeshes li li'acha shloshim yom, I want to marry you, but the Kiddushin will take place, not now, will take place in 30 days from now. Meanwhile, on day 15, Uba Acher v'kitcha b'soch shloshim yom. A guy comes along within this 30-day period of time. She's not yet married to Reuven, the first guy. And the second guy, Shimon, comes along and asks her to marry him. And she agrees. On day 15, she agrees. So, in this situation, Mekudeshes Lasheni, she's married to Shimon. On day 15, that's when she got married to him. And on day 30, nothing happened because she's already a married woman. And that Kiddushin can't take effect from Reuven. There's a whole big discussion amongst the poskim. What does it mean that it can't take effect on day 30? Does it mean that she can't take effect on day 30 because she's a married woman, and that's why it doesn't take effect? But that leads to the nafkamina. What happens if Nebuch, this guy, dies? He marries her on day 15, and then he dies. So on day 20, Nebuch dies. So now she's an amana. So does the original kedusha for Reuven now take effect on day 30? So that's a machlokus amongst the Rishonim as to whether it would take effect in that situation. So we'll leave that aside for right now. There's one opinion that says that it doesn't take effect because by her accepting the Kedushin on day 15, she was essentially rejecting the first guy's Kedushin. The second opinion says, no, she wasn't rejecting the first guy's opinion. A better offer came along, but no, if that better offer peters out, in other words, Nebuchadnezzar, he dies, so she's now a Pnuya on day 30, so then the Kedushin now will take effect. So that's the Machlokes and the Rishonim what it means. But certainly, if the guy stays alive, if Shimon is alive on day 30, so then she's still married on day 30, so then the original Kedushin from the first guy never took effect, and therefore, she is considered fully married to Shimon, not even a suffix that she's married to Reuven, the first guy. And if she was a Bais Yisrael marrying to a Kohen, so if the Shimon was a Kohen, so then Tocha B'Truba, she's 100% married. There's no Chashash that she's married to Reuven. And now that she's a Gerusha or anything like that, and she can now go and eat Truba. But if the first person, Reuven, says to this girl, May Achshav, I want you to be married to me, but it will take effect now, and Uliachar Shloshim Yom. So then, there is a question, is she already Mekudeshes to him? And now another guy comes along on day 15, Shimon comes along on day 15, Uba Achav Kitchav Zok Shloshim Yom, and he marries her on day 15, so now we got a problem, because the original Kedushin took place, May Achshav Uliachar Shloshim Yom, so it's a limbo state over here, what her status is, and therefore Mekudeshes, Ven Mekudeshes, so it's a possibility that she's married to Shimon, possibility she's not. So she can't live with Shimon, and she can't live with Reuven. So we got a problem over here. And if she is a Bas Yisrael, and this guy, either Reuven or Shimon, is a Kohen, or she's a Bas Kohen, and either Reuven or Shimon is now a Yisrael, so then, lo tocha b'truma. She no longer can eat truma, either as a Bas Kohen, or as the wife of a Kohen, she can't eat truma in either scenario, and she's going to need a divorce from both of them. Gemara starts off and tells us, Omer l'chaver, tzei v'kadesh. The Mishnah said that a man tells his friend, go out and be Mekadesh this girl for me. Tono, we learned in a Braisa, Masha Osso, Osso, what he did is done. What the Shaliach did is done. The Chavar, what he did in this situation, Reuven asked Shimon to be Mekadesh the girl on Reuven's behalf, and Shimon went to Mekadesh the girl on his own behalf. Masha Osso, Osso, the girl is Mekudeshes to Shimon. However, the Braisa adds, Elishanohag bo minhag ramos. What this so-called friend Shimon did is an act of ramos. It's an act of cheating and not nice. It's a betrayal of what Reuven asked him to do. And the Gemara says, our Mishnah says the same thing because of the Lashon. The Tano Didon said the same thing. It said, Homer l'chavero, the holach, he went. What does it mean he went? It should have just said, Homer l'chavero, It didn't have to say the holach v'kitcholi atzmo. So this word holach, the Tana of Amish is telling us the same thing as the Brisa said. Holach nami diktoni holach biramos. He went off in his very not nice way. He went off in this very cheating type of a way. And therefore, our Tana in the Mishnah is in accord with the time expressed in the Brisa, Masha Asa Asui, however, Ella Shinog Bo Minog Ramos. Now the Gemara notes the point that I made when we learned the Mishnah, Maishno Hocho Diktoni Yomel Chaveru. Why does our Mishnah use the Lashon of Reuven asking his friend Shimon to be Mekadish to go for him? And we turn to Nun Tesel Med Aleph. We had previously on Daf Nun, it said when Reuven was asking Shimon to go and do something for him, Umayshna Hosam on Daf Nun Diktane Homer Lishlucho. He said to his agent, his Sholiach. Why in our Mishnah do we refer to the Sholiach as his friend, and in the Mishnah there we refer to the agent, the Sholiach, as his Sholiach? What's the difference in the two Lishonos? So Gemara says, Hocha Revusakom Ashvalon, Vahasam Revusakom Ashvalon. Each place is giving us a chiddush. What's the chiddush over here? Hacha, why does it say chaver over here? Hacha revusa kamashbon, by using the lashon of chaver rather than shliach, shlucho, the chiddush is as follows. The itana shlucho, when it said over here, omer lishlucho, go and be mekadesh the girl for me, you know what I would have said? Only in that situation is the girl mekadesh to this shliach. Chavamina, shlucho hu dahavi ramoy. It is because he's a shliach that he's a Rama, he's not his friend. And therefore, he's a cheat in this situation. The somcha daite, because the person who sent him is relying upon this person to do his shlichus for him, and Savar Ovid Li Shluchosi, he's doing my shlichus, and he'll therefore go and be Mekadesh the girl. And when he cheats, when he doesn't do that, he doesn't act of Ramos, so he's breaking that shlichus, he's cheating on him. So in that situation, we say that the woman is Mekudeshes to the second person. Abu Chaveiro, but if it's his friend, the lo som chadaite, he wasn't necessarily expecting to do it to him because he's not his shaliach. He's acting as a friend. No, a friend may or may not do it. He's no obligation, so to say, to do it. Ema, lo hevi ramoy. Maybe in that situation, you think he's not a ramoy in that situation because, after all, he wasn't a formal shliach. Just you ask a friend to do something, you know, a friend may not do it. He wasn't functioning as a shliach, you might say, and therefore, it's not so terrible what he did. So the Mishnah wants to teach us it's still terrible what he did, even though he wasn't a formal shliach. He's your friend, and you shouldn't act in that way. So that's why B'daf used the lashon of a friend over here. The Mishnah on Daf Nun was also a chiddush. Also, revusikom mashalim by using the term shaliach. The itana homel chaver, because if it used the lashon of the homel chaver rather than homel shlucho, you know what it said? Hav amina. In that situation, chaveru hu the kikitcha b'makom acher in mekudeshes. That was a situation we told his friend go and be mekadesh to go in New York, and he was mekadesh to go in Philadelphia, and we said he specifically wanted in New York, and therefore when he was mekadesh in Philadelphia, he wasn't acting as a shliach, and therefore that woman is not mekudeshes in Philadelphia. Now, if it had said the lashon of Chaveiro over there, you know what, we said Havamina, because Chaveiro, who, the Kikitcha, B'mochem Acher, and Mekudeshes, because the Sovel, Lo Torah, he said, I told him New York, because I don't want to matriach him to go all the way to Philadelphia. We live in New York, I said, we can't share in New York. I didn't expect him to go to Philadelphia, therefore the Shlichus was never intended other than for New York. However, if it said Shliach over there, Avo Shlucho, the Torah, but the Shliach, who, I'm appointed to be my Shliach, so you do whatever I ask you to do, maybe he's paying him to do it, you're my formal shaliach, Ema Mara Malkumlo. I would have said, no, I expect you to be Kadeshu in New York, but I also expect you to be Kadeshu in Philadelphia, that's where you find it. And therefore, he wasn't Machbid in New York. So therefore, the Chiddush is over there, Kamash Vulad, that even though he told him to do it in New York, and you might have thought that included Philadelphia, because he's a shaliach, Kamash Vulad, that no, it doesn't include Philadelphia, he was Machbid, that it should be in New York. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.